My guest in this segment of our program is Dr. Jim Garrison. He is the co-founder and president of the Wisdom University in San Francisco. As the co-founder and president of the Gorbachev Foundation, he was instrumental in the founding of the State of the World Forum, which he remains as its president, in order to generate a global network of leaders and visionaries from all walks of life to define a template for a more sustainable global civilization. And the World Forum is now dedicated to tackling the environmental and social problems related to climate change and global warming. And he is also the author of some very important books, including Civilization and the Transformation of Power, and American as Empire, Global Leader or Rogue Nation. He also will be co-hosting a new program, Voices of Wisdom, on the Progressive Radio Network, that will begin in just about 3 weeks, on the 28th of this month, every Friday at 2 p.m., right after Danny Schechter's The News Dissector program. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Let's begin with your view about 2010 and what you would see as the success or failure of the Copenhagen and Cancun climate change summits. And also, for many, that marks a transition from climate change to climate shock. And this has made governments, in some respects, impotent to undertaking and agreeing on what constructively we can do in international agreements that really address global warming in an authentic way rather than just a political way. And also from there, if you would segue, and what do you foresee in American climate change policy for the coming year, particularly with the GOP-ruled Congress, which comprises lots of climate change deniers, and especially their supporters in the media, such as Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Laura Engstrom, all of the people on the right, Michael Savage, Mark Levine. They have a right to their opinion, and that I don't question, but my goodness, they don't have a right to interpret good science as supporting that there is no such thing as global problems or environmental problems, and to them, you never hear them address constructive ways of dealing with any environmental problem as if, let's not focus on that, that's not important. So could you address these, please?
Yes. I believe that 2010 will go down as that moment when we passed the point of no return on climate change. And I think that what happened in 2010 is that we had the perfect eco-political storm. We began to transition from climate change to climate shock. If you look at the heat waves that debilitated Russia, you look at the floods in Pakistan that covered 20% of the entire nation, you looked at the volcanic eruption out of Iceland that closed down the airports in Northern Europe for a week. You look at even what happened over this last winter with the shutting down of airports and massive storms and floods as they're happening right now as we speak in Australia. We're no longer in a situation where we have a little bit of perturbation in the weather. We're now engaging in increasingly ferocious and increasingly frequent climate shock. So that's one part of it. What made it the perfect storm is that in the face of this reality, our governments completely capitulated to the financial interests and the manipulations of the right-wing demagogues who are denying that climate change even exists and supported by the oil industries and the Koch brothers, among others. Have been spending millions of dollars to keep the situation in paralysis. I think that the perfect storm is going to continue to wreak havoc on the American political system. I think that the failure of the Obama administration to take the kind of transformational leadership for which he was elected and for which the world gave him a Nobel Peace Prize even before he came into office is really a catastrophic failure of leadership, the like of which I don't think we've had in our country for a very, very long time. Never before has a man come into the presidency with more moral or political capital. And I don't know of any example in recent memory where a president with that much moral and political capital so completely surrendered and squandered that opportunity, such that 2 years later, we have anger, we have the Tea Party, we have the resurgence of the right, and we're facing, Gary, I think, the politics of paralysis over the next 2 years. The right wing are going to savage Obama. There's going to be no enlightened movement of the polity. They're going to be trying, as everyone knows, to repeal even the health bill. There will be no movement on climate change as the situation continues to get worse and worse. So I think that the situation that all of us need to internalize personally and collectively is, January 1 just passed, 1111, marked not only the beginning of a new year, but the beginning of this next decade. And I think as we look forward to this next 10 years, we all need to understand that we're going to probably be going through perhaps the most turbulent decade, certainly in modern history, if not in human history. Because the climate change, moving to climate shock, and the winter we just have endured with airport closures and passengers stranded, not for a couple of hours, but for days, unprecedented storms and weather events are only going to escalate. And at the same time, our governments are going to be more and more paralyzed. And that combination is going to be excruciating. And I believe that the most important thing any of us can really do now is, in addition to being informed of what's going on and taking the situation extremely seriously, connecting the dots, is we need to be building resilient community. We need to be understanding that the turbulence is going to increase and that we need to strategize for it because we have to navigate through it. So that's the challenge beginning with this year that I think will increase in intensity as we move through this decade.
I appreciate that insight. Thank you. Two questions that I would like you to join together. One is philosophical, one is very pragmatic. First, the pragmatic. When you look at the incidents of just the last month, the worst storms on record, the lowest temperatures, the most snow accumulating, even worse flooding in California and certain areas of California in their recorded history. Yeah. And then you start looking at what has happened in Europe. And now we have gotten to this place where tornadoes and hurricanes and storms and tsunamis and earthquakes have become so common that they no longer are seen as relevant. So we've lost that capacity to be concerned. We just kind of, we have made it the new normal. Oh, so, you know, the hottest day on record or the worst of firestorms in this area of the state. What does it mean when we no longer can see the significance of the environment and what impact it's going to have on us? And then add into that the second part. There are at least 13 states in the United States that, based upon the most accurate measurements, do not have enough water to sustain the growth or the continuation of industry, agriculture, and pedestrian use. And yet there is nothing being done of a concrete nature to change where all these people are living or how they're supposed to cope. There's just delaying tactics or some form of war between who really owns the water rights out of the Colorado and who's going to get the water when it comes out of Lake Mead, instead of saying, why do we keep encouraging people to move to a place that in 10 years they're going to be water rationing? And why don't we look at this honestly? So those are the two issues and that are pragmatic. The issue that is philosophical is this. What do we have to do to reignite a reconnection with our spiritual values so that we look at the world in a more comprehensive, humanistic, spiritual way instead of commodifying and commercializing and politicizing everything and everyone in it?
Well, I think those are two important questions. Starting with the pragmatic first, I think you're absolutely right. You know, each month of 2010 was the hottest on record. 17 countries comprising 20% of the landmass of the planet experienced record temperatures unprecedented in the history of record keeping. And the situation is continuing to deteriorate because the amount of CO2 being put into the atmosphere is increasing, not decreasing. The abdication of the Obama administration and the leadership of the United States and not passing the climate bill basically signaled to the rest of the world that people can do anything they want regardless of consequence. And I think, Gary, the Jim Hansen, the chief scientist at NASA, is absolutely correct. These guys should be had up for crimes against humanity because they are forfeiting potentially human civilization itself just for short-term profit and gain. And we need to, all of your listeners need to understand that the weather, more than politics and economics, is going to control humanity's future, and it's going to be increasingly disruptive. Here in California, where I am, we're now in a situation of permanent drought, and the entire Southern California and San Joaquin Valley all was built on the assumption of unlimited water. And in the last 25 years, the snow melt on the Sierra Nevadas has been reduced by 46%, and it's going down, down, down. And so we're looking in California at the greatest agricultural basin in the world turning into a desert in the next 20 to 30 years. And the L.A., you know, metropolitan area, which now supports 20, 25 million people, will probably shrink to 3 to 4, 5 million within the, by 2050. And don't forget, the coup de grace is not just extreme weather, but the oceans all over the world are rising. I had lunch yesterday with the vice president of the Maldives Islands, and not only do they have a budget item in their national budget to look for a new country, but they're now dealing with migrations of people who are seeing that the oceans are rising, the foundations of their houses are being eroded, and they know it's not going to stop, and so the Maldives Islands, people are already leaving. By 2020, 2025, when the oceans around San Francisco, New York, Miami, Houston, London, Paris, and people begin to really internalize that those oceans are not only going to rise, are rising, but they're not going to stop rising, then you're going to have a mass migration of people, the like of which the world has never known. And so we have got to get people to connect those dots, which leads to your philosophical question, which is, to me, the bottom line. I think that the reason why Wisdom University is doing what it's doing, and we really appreciate the opportunity to have our Voices of Wisdom, a weekly show on PRN. You're one of the heroes of our time, Gary. I just want to acknowledge that. You're consistently clear. You don't hold back, and you state with prophetic clarity and rigorous attention to detail what the truth of the matter is. If you look at the media on CNN and all these, it's like news has become a diversion from the truth to cloud people's capacity to understand what's really happening. So to have PRN out there telling people what is in an unvarnished way but in the constructive spirit could not be more important in our time, because we're going to be going through some very difficult situations, and it's going to be our spiritual grounding that is going to either lead us through or not, depending on how grounded we are. And I think that for us at Wisdom University, it's not the religious traditions, it is not the philosophical traditions that are going to aid us. It's our capacity to come into a realignment with the earth herself. You know, Gaia, as James Lovelock you know, pointed out, is an intelligence. We're not organisms on the Earth as an inert ball floating through space. The Earth herself is a living, intelligent organism, and that we are part of her, and that as she begins to be disrupted because we're upsetting the equilibrium of the atmosphere and the oceans in dramatic ways, to the degree to which we can realign ourselves with the tellurgic energies, with the energy of the Earth itself, and build communities based on biomimicry, we should be patterning all of our human institutions, politics, economics, finance, on natural systems. That will enable us to understand the Earth better, and I believe that to the degree to which we come into an alignment with the Earth as small communities, that's going to enable us to navigate through the turbulence that is coming.
I absolutely agree with that, Jim. Thank you for those thoughtful words. If humanity is going to prepare, and I know many people in this audience are preparing, then they're going to look at the huge changes you've discussed on the horizon. They will not take it for granted. They will not become, let's say, disinclined by it. They will look at the water shortages, the food shortages, the lack of proper soil to grow food, the rising sea levels you mentioned around San Francisco and elsewhere. They'll look at the increased catastrophic storms, the extinction of more plant and animal life, and they're going to ask the same questions that you've asked us all to look at. How can we, in the plural, those of a like mind, and believe in spiritual sustainability, because without a spiritual sustainability, there is no sustainability. How can we get off the grid and de-addict ourselves to the stimulus and overstimulus of the high degree of living in the city and some of the suburbs and go to a more rural, almost a more bucolic and pastoral life and take the technologies we can benefit from, including the green,
exactly,
and in effect rewrite our life in this time, do it without the unnecessary and artificial and commercialized and rigidified rituals of before. Closing thought, please.
Totally. I mean, the transition town movement of communities, large and small, that are beginning to realize they've got to go off-grid. They've got to develop their own sustainable energy and food systems and ways of interacting with each other in community that are not dependent on the massive matrix industrial models that are out there. So you're absolutely right, and that level of community, I think, is what's going to see us through, and as it'll turn out, ironically, to the degree to which we simplify, get closer to the Earth, we'll discover anew the meaning of happiness and contentment as we approach each other and the Earth herself with a renewed vitality.
Thank you very much. I look forward to your new program premiering on the later this month. I believe it's on the 28th. And
yes,
you'll be following Danny Schechter. And that's a very good hour. And so we look forward to that. In the interim, if people want more information, please give us your website. Your website, Jim? I think he's off a line there. Jim Garrison is my guest, Wisdom University in San Francisco.